May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.
Howdy, howdy. This is the Cosmic Cowboy with Cosmic Love for Saturday, November 1st, 2025. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to my cosmic insight and outlook for understanding the overview of what's really going on in our fast-changing world. So I'm broadcasting live on the internet to about 63 nations, and I never know who's listening. So if you're new to the show, welcome to my update on fast-changing world news. I mean, it's accelerating. Things are really changing fast. Today I'll be going into that and narrating from four different newsletters that I've published over the last 11 days. This is a lot of big picture stuff with both global crisis and Aquarian opportunities. So I'll be unpacking the grand illusion of lamestream media and the demoralizing reality of what's going on, Gaza genocide and vaccine pharmacide. Hey, we're in a world right now where there's stuff going on that is just unthinkable, and we need to process through it, keep a good perspective. You know, each of my newsletters that I discuss, it's kind of, I call them a cosmic love sandwich with the sourdough bread of truth, slathered with lots of light and love on both ends and strong meat in the middle. Usually peppered with enough wisdom and garnished with enough cosmic humor, to make it a good sandwich. So that's my love sandwich. I'll be discussing four of them today. And this is some delicious food for thought for the truly thoughtful. You know, those who really want to get the straight skinny on the deep doo-doo and get the perspective that will sustain them with, you know, philosophical correctness like the eye of the hurricane. You know, that all-seeing eye of harmonious calm where you can reflect the heavens and see through to the subterraneous, you know, collective unconscious, I refer to it in my newsletters, that there is a patterns that are repeating themselves in the collective consciousness. And my job is to curate the alternative news, the people that I've come to trust, good sources over the last 17 years doing my radio show, and look for the repeating pattern, common sense of what's going on that's not being discussed in the mainstream media, because it exposes the systemic problems that basically does not want exposure. But that's coming out now, folks, with the AI just taking off like crazy. It is accelerating this great awakening process. And there is brilliant stuff coming out on the internet. People are learning how to use AI to produce videos and produce, you know, like these 5-minute pieces. There are several sources of that now that are coming out. And I put them in my newsletters because, everyone's just kind of waking up with AI to tools and processes that make information very entertaining and educational and, you know, insightful and for the great awakening. And it's happening. I mean, it's happening worldwide. So there is a wave of light that's basically hitting a wall of darkness. When I say that, there's this dynamic of the 3D density that much of humanity lives in. And I'll be going into that a little bit today, as far as the transition to a 4D metamorphosis, you might say, into a 5D enlightenment. So we're transitioning from a great awakening to a great enlightenment. And I get into the analogy of a caterpillar who goes into a cocoon and comes out a butterfly. And global civilization is kind of like that right now. The Great Awakening is basically exposing the whole truth and the big lie. And the big lie has been so big and so bold and so often told that a lot of, well, everyone to a certain extent has believed the lies because, you know, it was normal, you know, at least like the medical industrial complex that we call a healthcare system, that it's been largely a disease care system. Don't get me wrong. It has saved my leg and my life with good surgery and good medical care that some of the best in the world. But at the same time, there is a dark side to it, the medical industrial complex, where they create and manage disease, specifically I'll refer to COVID, and I've discussed that thoroughly over the years, and it's still an issue. I mean, if you can believe it, the lamestream media is still saying repeatedly their mantra that the vaccines are safe and effective, when anyone that has followed alternative news on the subject over the last year in particular, the reality of the situation is very sobering, to say the least, as far as the millions of people that have died worldwide and the millions more who have been permanently disabled. So this is part of the insanity in the world we live in right now. That some of the power elite potentates in business and in corporation, giant corporations and government are colluding to make a killing, so to speak, with an agenda of population control, and some people would take that a little further, and I'll be referencing that today, their agenda of population reduction, which they've had for years, and it's starting to come out in the open. And again, it's unthinkable and unspeakable, but this is what we're dealing with in the world right now, from genocide in Gaza to pharmacide in the medical industrial complex. So anyway, I'm going to be discussing these four newsletters. Back on October 24th, it's time we get a grip on the crisis. And there's no healing the crisis until we come out of denial that there's a serious crisis. And a couple days later, I did a newsletter called An AI Cartoon Show for Mature Adults. That is a very sobering, I don't know if I'm going to have time to get into that one, because I'm going to get into the Freaky Friday post from yesterday first, you know, the Halloween mix of news that's kind of really freaky, you know, but that's, you know, under that subject of Freaky Friday, I'm going to be covering some of these previous, and I'll link to and I'll reference these previous newsletters on the crisis and this AI cartoon show. And just a few days ago, I did an article called The Rise of AI Solution Journalism. Journaling the solutions, the rise of AI solution journalism, you can become a journalist and with the ability to research and compose and to form, and to journal, truth telling on the internet. You know, anyone can do it these days. And there's a little bit of a story there that my personal experience with solution journalism over the last 17 years, and I'm still doing it, talking about it with my radio show. But these newsletters I do, again, four of them since the last show, they are processing through a lot of the collective unconscious, subconscious, barely conscious realities that is the underpinning of so much of what's going on in the world that most people are not aware of or only partially aware of. And the more, you know, more we understand, you know, once more we, you know better, the better, the more we do better. You know, it's just a natural thing. And of course, AI has taken that to the threshold of wisdom. If you do the correct prompting, the prompt that you give at the beginning of your AI query, to the extent that you have a, you know, highly qualified specific prompt, the AI can produce amazing results. And I encourage everyone to play with play with it. And I reference different AI search engines in these newsletters, which will be in the, you know, just in a day or two, we'll get the podcast up, and in the footnotes and the, you know, in, of the podcast, there will be the links to these articles, these newsletters, these last four newsletters that I'll be discussing. So I'm going to go into, you know, the first one first. Usually I go into an astrology report before I do, but there's an astrology report in your Freaky Friday newsletter, which I'm going to go into now, this Halloween mix. And I say right up out at the beginning with kind of a spooky picture there. But I say right at the beginning that beware of spooky fear porn, you know, and there is so much fear porn in the media these days. You know, basically there's a whole agenda for people being so completely freaked out that they get the psychology of subservience to tyranny. In other words, they just go along with the authorities who are still saying, for example, you know, keep taking those vaccines, folks, you know, and the whole story on why they do that and what's in those vaccines, you know, it's an amazing story. And those who have been following my newsletters over the years and my shows where I discuss what I talk about in the newsletters, you're getting a perspective that it's pretty rare these days. There's not a lot of people that really want to deal with this unspeakable stuff because it's, you know, a lot of people do not want their cherished illusions to be challenged, you know, and I call it BS as a belief system. You know, if you believe it so, you know, you're going to make it so whether it's true or not, you know. This is a whole thing of, you know, we are what we believe, we become what we believe. Just like we are what we think, we become what we thought. And we are what we feel, we become what we felt. And, of course, we are what we do, having become what we did. And those who have an open mind and can think for themselves and are not subservient to, you know, authority figures, and you know, who are telling us in mainstream, lamestream media, are telling us what to think about everything, whereas those who are thinking for themselves and looking at the good alternative sources of what's really going on from some of the best and brightest on the internet, you know, the luminaries, that in all fields who are publishing now on Substack, they're networking, they're in social media networks, and these social media networks are really communities. So there's some of us that are community builders by, you know, truth telling, you know, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God, you know, expose the truth, expose the lie, you know, burn through all the BS, all the belief system that's not based on knowing. And this is one of the things I get into. It's better to believe nothing and to either know or not know. And that's one of my last pieces. But this one, I'm going to go right into some of the Halloween subjects that for adults is pretty spooky. The first article is from the Society of Problem Solvers. And the Society of Problem Solvers, there are people that, these are a whole society, group of people networking, a whole community, you might say, a community network, of people that are really into the creative process, the learning process, the processes of consciousness, the very foundation of self-governance, and basically how we can harness our, you know, the wisdom of the cloud or wisdom of the crowd, you know, wisdom. We can harness wisdom to solve all our society's problems. It's called the Society of Problem Solvers, and they have an article, and it's called Why Bother Checking? Halloween candy is already full of poison. In other words, people check their Halloween candy. And the point is, you know, why bother checking your kid's bag of candy? Because the Halloween candy is already full of poison. And this is important to understand how a lot of the, you know, colors, flavors, the sugar, you know, it's the sugar can be like a poison if you get too much of it. But I remember when, you know, I had kids, I had four of them. And I remember, you know, when they were going out, you know, I'm a naturopath. And of course, I knew the thing with the sugar, and I didn't want them to get hooked on sugar. So I let them eat as much of their candy until they got sick. They got physically sick. And that, from then on at Halloween, they were not into eating candy. It's just like they had a thing that it was like, from, you know, candy as a general rule after that. And I explained to them what candy did and what sugar did. I didn't get into it, all the toxins and chemicals, flavors, and all the stuff that's in candy, you know, how they're toxins, how they're a kind of poison. But I did explain to my kids, and of course, my wife and I understood how the flu season that usually follows Halloween is because the chemistry of kids is all screwed up from the sugar. They're all acidic. Their chemistry is acidic, and that creates an environment in which bacteria, fungus, viruses can thrive. In other words, the problem is not, you know, in flu season, is not from a contagious virus. It's what people do to their biological terrain that makes them acidic and toxic and create an environment in which, you know, bacteria and viruses can thrive. So as Pasteur said on his deathbed, it's not the flora, it's the fauna. In other words, the germ theory was getting going, and Pasteur finally came around, and he had enough research to realize that the problem was not the bug or a virus so much as the biological terrain, the fauna, the biological terrain in which microorganisms could thrive, an acidic environment, they thrive. And this is what goes on with flu seasons. I've understood this. Naturopaths understand it. Most people do not understand because they're not told, because the medical system has gone with the germ theory rather than the biological terrain theory. And I've explained this before, and some people listening know exactly what I'm talking about. And other people have just basically bought the BS taught, you know, by the medical system that it's a bug, it's a germ, you know, it's a... You know, the germ, the boogeyman is going to get these invisible things, going to get you, you know, if, you know, and that's what makes you sick. They don't talk about, you know, your chemistry, you know, the biological terrain, and, you know, the real factor where healthy people, you know, they have a strong immune system, and things that weaken the immune system, like poison, different toxins, like sugar, you know, makes it acidic. Like vaccines, where they're filled with all kinds of different toxins that are toxic. And people that do electrodiagnosis, you know, different types of energy field testing, you know, with the voltmeters, different types of systems now. You do point testing, and now there's all these different energy systems that can test the effects of nutritional supplements and homeopathics in the circuits of the body, and they all show that toxic drugs and the aluminum and the poisons they put, you know, the adjuvants and other things they put in the vaccines, but they weaken the immune system of the body. Now, this is common sense to a naturopath and someone that really gets into the true science that's biologically correct and not politically correct as far as the medical industrial complex goes. Because if your business is treating the disease, if that's your business model, is profiting from treating of disease, then you don't want to prevent that which is you're going to profit from. So the whole system is geared around, this is back to the Rockefeller system, going back to the beginning, how he had these petrochemical synthetic drugs, you know, that he made from his big oil, you know, petrochemicals from pharmaceuticals. It just fit his business model perfectly. And so Rockefeller, you know, 100 years ago, with the Flexner Report, he got the Congress to rewrite the legislation, and then he made his drugs, his synthetic chemical drugs, community standard medicine, the treatment of disease symptoms with his drugs. He financed 1,100 medical schools with grants around the country, teaching pharmacology at the core of the curriculum. So it was drugs per symptom medicine we've had ever since then. This has been inculcated into the whole medical industrial complex. It's based on this, I call it mass pharma side, pharmaceutical, petrochemical, synthetic chemicals that you put in your body that will quite often suppress the symptoms but compound the cause. There's more toxicity in the system. which weakens the immune system even further, which creates more symptoms, but they have more drugs to treat those symptoms. So it's like a self-licking ice cream cone or a vicious circle, you might say. And this is our whole, you know, medical system. You know, they don't teach. Of course, Trump has recently said that he's going to require medical schools to teach nutrition. Well, that would be a big change. You know, that's one of the first things you lose learn in medical school. One of the first things you learn is that that nutrition and holistic health doesn't fit their business model. You know, they're into, you know, the treating of the disease. And of course, modern medicine is with surgeries. It's really miraculous. And there's nothing like a good surgeon, you know, when they're needed, you know, physicals. And they're some of the best in the world here in the United States. But the medical paradigm itself of disease treatment, you know, it's not a healthcare system. It's a disease care system. It's all backwards. It's like bizarro world, you know. It's all backwards. It's all backwards. And again, most of you listening, you know, are aware of that. But I mention this because, you know, the whole healing of the medical system will come back to this whole point of building health and preventing disease, rather than treating the symptom disease with drugs that have side effects that cause, you know, more disease. We're going to, you know, the prevention with healing with light, healing with herbs, healing with nature, natural cures that have been proven that strengthen the body for thousands of years, you know, going back to ancient Chinese herbalism, you know, thousands of years ago. And this is like a real science in China before it was in the West. And of course, the West's whole medical science was co-opted by the petrochemical synthetic drug model, which has been the paradigm everyone grew up with. No one questioned, you know, that the doctors didn't know better with their drugs for symptom medicine. But you rarely hear the story anymore of how the best healers in America were homeopaths and naturopaths before the allopathic German drug pushers came over with their toxic potions. They're poisons, you know. The history of this has really been so skewered that people, you know, they believe in the high priests of medicine with their drug sacraments. They believe religiously, you know. They don't even question it. And I remember it was, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it was like trying to talk about 9/11 to people. You know, it's like the whole idea of a false flag was a foreign concept. Well, now the concept of a false flag is talked about by leaders of the nations. You know, what was one of the leaders down in Venezuela was saying that the U.S. is trying to set up a false flag to invade their country. This was just recent news this last week. Well, anyway, this is the kind of stuff I touch on because things are, like I say, there's an awakening from the matrix, you might say. And I'll go into that. So I just wanted to give that a little bit of a background. I began the piece talking about, you know, this Freaky Friday, this whole thing of poison, you know, now we're and this is why flu season follows Halloween. The body attempts to eliminate the poison, you know, and a toxic biological terrain is what breeds dysbiosis. And dysbiosis is, you know, is toxicity, you know, that is breeding toxicity. And this is what's been going on with flu after Halloween, you know, from the time I was a kid and before, you know, it's just a situation. So I wanted to go into from that to a video that I just published. It's a Reese report. Greg Reese is brilliant doing these short 5-minute videos. And this one was on 3i Atlas and the Dawn of a New Age. Now, 3i Atlas, for those who've been following the news, is this like this comet body that's coming in and swinging around the sun and swinging past the Earth. And it ain't a comet. I mean, this thing is like, they say it's like 99.999, you know, percent chance that this thing is being consciously directed somehow. It's not following the laws of physics, and there's lights coming out of it, and it's directional with the tail facing towards the sun. anyway, the point of it is the dawn of a new age, he gets into different dimensions of this phenomena of what's going on with conscious evolution throughout history. The portents of a comet, what it implied, how this isn't a comet, but it there's all these references to comets and celestial objects being a harbinger of something coming, you know, and the reference here is dawn of a new age. Gets into a little bit of the astrology of, you know, what's going on with the new age. Now, I usually don't do an astrology report with my newsletters, but this one I did. I'm going to go into it. But that's going to be the astrology report I'm doing for this show. I usually give an astrology report in my Cosmic Love podcast, but I don't give the astrology report in my newsletters. But in this one I do, and this is what I said. I said, consider the quantum field principle of resonance. It's a key principle. You know, as above, so below, as above in the field, you know, the cosmic field, the energy fields within fields of our galaxy, solar system, and there's fields at all levels, you know. So the as above in the field and so below in the holodeck, you know, the field between your ears, sometimes referred to as the holodeck. It's an energy field. And consciousness, they now know, you know, memory is not in the cells, it's in the field. And if your cells are aligned and attuned and working well, then they're sustaining a field of consciousness. This is like the understanding of the true key to health is not, you know, the absence of germs. It's the presence of when a strong immune system in the biological terrain. You know, the whole biological medical field these days is kind of backwards. It's, again, more oriented to disease and the chemistry of disease rather than the energies of health. Well, the same thing, there's a whole paradigm, it's all backwards, you know, that consciousness is somehow anchored in the physical brain. No, the brain creates a field, a holodeck, it's referred to. Like in the holodeck, you know, in Star Trek, you create, you know, you the field from the time you're born. You're creating the field between your ears. You know, it's sometimes called the etheric field or the memory field. You know, your identity field, your ID. And so there's this relationship, as above, so below. You know, the external field and the internal field, the outer sense and the inner sense, the innocence of the inner sense. And you know, it's like, well, you know, there is a resonance that goes on, and we are what we think. We become what we thought. We are what we feel. Resonance. We become what we felt. You know what resonates as that. You know, the feel good factor in our life. Some people get addicted with that, but the point is, any strength in excess is a weakness. But the idea of having good resonance with the larger field and to understand it, this is what goes on with astrology, psychology. Now, this is the understanding of there's this cosmic field of deep space energies that are stepped down into the field of our solar system, which there's all kinds of energetic exchanges going on with trine sextiles, oppositions, there's geometries. And the geometric energy fields create different types of influence of consciousness. And the planets themselves are like, you might say, their energy fields are like great cosmic beings that step down, you know, these deep space energies in relationship to the Earth. And again, these relationships, these geometric relationships I referred to, it's like the understanding of these geometric relationships, this geometrically ordered divinity, you know, as above, so below, you know, the cosmic connection geometrically. This is one way to understand God as far as geometrically ordered divinity. In other words, the order of the universe, the divine order, gets stepped down and qualified in these relationships of the planets and as a whole, as our solar system and where our solar system is in the larger scheme of things, and what kind of energies it's channeling as it does the precession of the equinox, you know, above and below the galactic plane as it orbits around the great central sun of our galaxy. So, you know, I've talked about this. I have the website on the field. You can go to it, and I provide links on that, the larger cosmic field. So realize that both right now, and this is the point of this resonance, that Saturn and Neptune are retrograde in the last sign of the zodiac. And again, those who understand the deep space energies, these 12 signs of the zodiac, you know, and this is, relates to where our solar system is orbiting up and across the galactic plane as it goes around the great central sun. It's like the, what is it, the 26,000 year cycle of the precession of the equinoxes. And this is, again, as it's orbiting above and below, in like a sine wave curve going around the great central sun. It's going up and down across the, it's moving forward. So it's like a sine wave curve. And I have graphics of that that you can look at on the link called The Field on my website, which provides a lot of graphics and videos for understanding of this larger picture and the understanding of how right now, the Saturn and Neptune are in the last sign of the zodiac, which is Pisces, but they're going direct into Aries in March. Now, this is their retrograde in through this next 4 months, and then it goes direct, and it comes back into Aries, which is like a huge cardinal fire initiation. And I've been reading from multiple sources now, leading astrologers, and you can use AI search engines just to check, you know, to do a check on Saturn and Neptune in the last sign of the zodiac going direct into Aries in March. You just put that in there and see what you get. I mean, they're all saying that this is, well, not all of them the same, but some of them are saying that this is the real launch of Aquarius, or at least it's a huge boost, as when Uranus went into Gemini and Pluto entered Aquarius. Anyway, those who have a little bit of an understanding of astrology know that there's something going on here over the next 4 months, and something big is coming in the spring of 2026. There's a big shift of energies. This energy shift has been building, like I say, this last year when Uranus went into Gemini and Pluto entered Aquarius. We're talking about the major shifts of Aquarian energy. So this thrust of Aquarian energies is a very strong innovation attribute. You know, people say, well, what's Aquarius like? Well, one of the attributes, there's a lot of, you know, computer technology, AI, and innovation, an innovation attribute. And we're looking at, I mean, this last year, breathtaking AI capabilities have emerged. And they're changing every field of human endeavor dramatically. You know, the clear potential of this is in economics of abundance. I mean, they've developed food replicators, you know, that will replicate food, just like in the Star Trek movies. The abundance that can be provided for healing, you know, these med beds. I mean, that technology has been suppressed for like 50 years. And it because it challenges, you know, instead of the chemistry of disease, it's the energies of health and how to get energetic, realignment, reattunement, resonance, healing resonance energies that heals the body. This is our future. It's coming. You know, I've been talking about it, you know, for years, and but there, you know, there's a turning point that's going on astrologically, psychologically. You know, in the field, this is all a natural, this is revelations, you know, of our time. So AI has taken the internet revolution to the next level of revelations that have accelerated dramatically in 2025. And this is quickening the rate of change to the threshold of chaos, disintegration of the 3D matrix, and 4D metamorphosis into the 5D plus Aquarian quantum age. Now, again, folks, as I'm reading from the newsletter, you know, Freaky Friday, Now, there are hot link concepts like the 5D Plus Aquarian Quantum Age, where you can go and read about what that will look like, what we can expect, with all these technologies that have been over the last 30 years come out, and now they're being perfected, they're being outpictured, they're being picked up and used and developed in countries all over the world. I mean, but if everything were not changing fast enough already, we're looking about, folks, a whole systems reboot. I mean, we're talking, when I say AI is changing everything, I mean, I wrote about this in the two other articles that I referenced over the last 2 weeks, one called The Crisis and What's Going On with the Crisis. I mean, we're talking about, this is serious crisis, because the old paradigm is disintegrating. The new paradigm hasn't really appeared yet. And we're in this, the state of a crisis, basically, like when a cocoon, when in a cocoon, you've got a caterpillar goes into a cocoon and disintegrates, and then becomes a butterfly that emerges, that's just a completely new creature. It's kind of a miracle of nature. It is a miracle of nature. Well, global civilization is kind of going through that right now. AI is largely doing that. It's disintegrating. It's making new models and it's innovating new models of Aquarius that make the old paradigm obsolete. So the old paradigm is kind of disintegrating. The old paradigm is going kicking and screaming, you might say, into an Aquarian golden age. And we got all that crisis going on. And so that was one of the articles, and you can read that from the footnotes. I might have time to go back and talk about that a little bit, some of the stuff in that. But the other article I just did about a few days ago was AI solution journalism. And this is, again, I referenced this before, how important solution journalism will be, where if you focus on the solution and the flow of creative energy through any solution acts to organize that system. You can say the flow of the creator's energy through a system acts to organize it. Now, if the system is an Aquarian model, a true service model, a nonprofit model, it's not profiting anyone individually, it's profiting everyone in general, it's a true service model, service to others model, a true solution journalism will, we create our environment, and then our environment creates us. So if you're looking at an environment of wholeness and healing, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physical, which basically, integrates all the components to the capstone, body, mind, and spirit, vision of wholeness and healing, it's a pure intention will focus intention with cosmic universal love retention for creative ascension, you might say, into a higher fifth golden age dimension of full comprehension. And so there's a sequence of persuasion that begins with pure intention. It's like God's will, like I am, I can, I will, by God's grace, done deal, fantastic and getting better, a vision of virtue and valor for the victory of self and civilization, by God's grace, done deal. Make it so, Scotty, beam me up, So in the meantime, we're back in the thick of we're in the thick of the crisis right now. And many of us are like the caterpillar who knows his destiny is to be a butterfly, but he's not ready to go through metamorphosis. There's a lot of us like that, folks. You're kind of stuck in negativity, I say, sin is being stuck in negativity. You can't be a butterfly with caterpillar thinking. That's the point. Caterpillar is just fine with being a caterpillar, and thank you very much. And a lot of people with their belief system, they're just fine with believing that the drugs are going to heal them, and that the chemo is going to heal them of their cancer. Some cases it will, but usually, it's 99% ineffective. Chemo is, because it's poison. It's poisoning the body, weakening the immune system. That's why, after a round of chemo, they'll give people interferon or some kind of immunotherapy to build up their immune system because chemo wipes out the immune system. It's freaking poisoning the people. Now, some people can be poisoned, and if they believe that chemo is going to cure them, well, you got the placebo effect, and the power of spiritual belief is, you know, if you just know you're going to be healed, then by God's grace, you know, done deal, you can make it so. You know, but believing it so doesn't always make it so. You can believe, you know, the drugs persist symptom medicine that has been established, allopathic medicine it's called. You can believe that that's the healing, the salvation of humanity. But once you look at the alternatives for non-invasive, non-toxic modalities that have a very high success rate, you know, there's no database you can go to that shows the efficacy of all the different health modalities. Why is that? Because if there was a database, if it wasn't suppressed, if there was a database, it'd be self-evident of which modalities are working best to build health and prevent disease, whether it be homeopathic, naturopathic, chiropractic, allopathic, or some eclectic combination. You know, a database model, a self-correcting database, so people can report back to the database whatever they choose to do in the model and whatever results they get. So you got a results-based database. So let the guru be results. What's working best? I've been writing about that model for 10 years now, the global telecare model, and I provide links in the bottom of this article. There's a link on telecare, and you can read about that. The vision of that alone could be the catalyst for healing of the medical industrial complex. I mean, read it for yourself. I mean, the only reason it hasn't happened is because the economics and politics are far more complex than the science. The economics and the politics talk science when do the most unscientific, crazy stuff. They use any words they can for credibility when it's just a big lie. So often, I mean, when I say that the whole virus scam during COVID, you know, and how they trumped up, you know, virus cases with the phony PCR test to make people believe there was a huge, massive contagion. There was the boogeyman was going to get you in these invisible, you know, viruses. It's a psyop. Well, not a lot of people, most people listening to this show realize that. Other people, may have a real problem with that and just say, I've heard enough, and you know, go someplace else. Well, you know, that's the way it was. You know, the beginning of COVID, I was trying to explain to people, man, when COVID began, you know, I had 10,000 people on my email list, and I was doing state's evidence on what's really going on with the best and brightest on the internet exposing stuff. And I had 8,000, 7,000 people leave my list, didn't want to hear it, you know. My mind's made up. Don't confuse me with your facts. Thank you very much. You know, you're crazy. It's in a conspiracy theorist, you know, with a tinfoil hat. You know, I've heard it all. But I'm not attached. I'm just, you know, I'm just going ahead. I'm learning. Everyone's waking up in their own way at their own speed. But anyway, there are some of us that can identify with the great awakening right now of global humanity. Just as in the last stages of metamorphosis, when a butterfly starts to take shape in the cocoon, I mean, the caterpillar weaves a cocoon around himself, then disintegrates into a blob, and then the blueprint for a butterfly takes shape, creates a butterfly out of the blob of disintegrating cells that was the caterpillar. And then the butterfly emerges and takes flight. Now, the great enlightenment is when the butterfly emerges and takes wing. And some of us are already there with a prevailing awareness of the angels of our better nature. The angels of our better nature. That's our butterfly nature, folks. That's our, some people would say, our higher Christ self, our higher self, our real self, the angels of our better nature. And if you understand that the language of the angels of love, you know, it is heart coherence. It's in the fractal order of the holographic universe. Coherence is the factor It's a golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm when it's in the frequency of love and joy and compassion. And this is the fabric. This is the language of the angel, the fabric of space and time that basically is the coherence factor. It holds everything together. It's like the glue that holds everything together in the order of the universe. You've got all these energy fields, these three basic fields, like the right dynamic, round magnetic, and radiant energy fields, which is like the threefold flame of the quantum field of the universe. You know, the power, wisdom, and love, you might say. The power is like the right dynamic energy field, which is like the squares and oppositions in your astrology. And the round magnetic energy field is like, that's the coherence factor, like when planets are conjunct and their energies blend together. And then you got the radiant energy field, which is like the trines and sextiles in your astrology psychology, where you've got a harmonious blending of like thesis, antithesis, synthesis of the energy, the other two fields, you know, the right dynamic and round magnetic. There's a blending of those energies and sextiles and trines where they're synergized, like the synergy in the trinity of thesis, antithesis, synthesis, or, you know, and again, these are geometric frames of reference that basically coalesce energies, quantum field energies, in harmonic ways. And I'm referred to this threefold flame of the universe. Excuse me. Let me get a drink here. So this language of the angels, heart coherence, is the divine feminine principle at the heart. Aquarian light language, you know, there's a universal law light language, and the law of the angles, which is geometrically ordered divinity, which goes into this threefold flame, right dynamic, round magnetic, radiant energies that are all, you might say, cross-referenced in the most powerful thought form in the universe and the key to the ascension of the planet, which is that square with a cross through the middle and a little circle at the point in the center, which represents the capstone in the pyramid of self and civilization. You got the four sides of the pyramid of self, which is spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. And you got the four sides of the pyramid of civilization, which is government, education, healthcare, and the economy. So the four sides of the self and civilization, you know, the components of the capstone, where there's synergy in all these four trinities coming up from the base to the capstone. There's four triangles, there's four synergy trinities that are integrating, you know, wholeness. And that how that corresponds to the light language, to the wholeness and the full spectrum consciousness, and how that corresponds to an interactive interface for interactive mass communications. I've been talking about that for 50 years since I gave a presentation to 10 agencies of FedGov on Capitol Hill, the Science and Astronautics Chamber of the Rayburn Building back in 1974, getting ready for the bicentennial era. So most listeners are familiar with that story. It's my story, and I'm sticking to it because I've been at this for a long time. And it's pretty self-evident to me that we're to the point where we either get our act together with this understanding of how good things can be with the wisdom of the crowd or the wisdom of the cloud for healing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, for government, education, healthcare, and the economy. It's a blueprint. It's the understanding of a blueprint of wholeness for healing. Individually and collectively, you know, self and civilization, what that looks like, how that works. So anyway, I'm getting a little bit of a story of the caterpillar and the butterfly. And we're at a time right now, folks, with things really getting intense. I mean, it's like been tangible, and we got another 4 months before, you know, it really lightens up a little bit, you know, with Saturn and Neptune going into Aries, cardinal fire Aries. But in the meantime, things are intense. And so you caterpillars out there, it's time to spin your cocoon, you know. It's time to hunker down and get your act together. And then as you basically pursue your own divine plan, what type of butterfly you're going to be, and get ready for launch in the spring, because it looks like spring is going to be a really good 2026, going to be a good time for launch. But in the meantime, things are serious, folks. It's time to hunker down. Caterpillars beware. First article I've got in the newsletter is called "The Zombie War on Terror is Upon Us." This is from the Quincy Center for Responsible Statecraft. So I'm getting into some of the spooky Halloween stuff now, folks. The zombie, and we're talking about the real, this is the real deal. The zombie war on terror is upon us. And a real case can be made that, I mean, there are zombies, you might say now, that are out there, you know. And what kind of zombies they are? Well, they're, you might say they're the ones that are really stuck in the victim dictum, and their prevailing awareness is going through a disintegration stage, and they think they know what they're doing, but their old paradigm is disintegrating, and the new paradigm of their, you know, their butterfly nature, their higher, you know, the angels of their better nature have not integrated yet, you know. So the zombie war on terror is upon us. Interesting read from the Quincy Center for Responsible Statecraft. Another article, and it's got a video. And it, I mean, this is serious, folks. If you want some Halloween, you know, spooky story, I mean, a real scary story. The Coming Global Technocratic Dark State. This is from Geopolitics and Empire from October the 29th, you know, just a few days ago. And Ian Davis alerts us to the danger in his upcoming book, as explains how, quote, "The worldwide implementation of technocracy today is without a doubt the most terrifying, totalitarian, and lethal threat to liberty that people on this planet have ever faced." Now, I got it in red letters because, I mean, this is how serious this is, folks. This is where we're at. Now, I reference in this point in this narrative, and I'm going to have to wrap this up. I'm not going to have a chance to get the other ones, but I've already referenced the other newsletters I've talked about. You know, and then there are links in this piece that go back to the other ones. More on the crisis and more on the AI solutions and how to create your own solutions with AI. But in the meantime, I'm going back to this bird flu subject and whether it's going to ramp up with the flu season begins. I mean, you know, you watch how many kids get, you know, get so to speak, they'll say the flu seasons begin. Watch it in the media. They'll be talking about this next week after Halloween, because kids eat all that candy. They're going to get sick, you know, and they're going to say, oh, it's the flu bug. It's not. It's a toxic biological terrain to these kids that are acidic, and they got dysbiosis in their chemistry, and they're trying to get it out of their system by throwing up and colds and flu-like, you know, flu-like symptoms to get it out of their bodies. So, you know, now here's the spooky stuff. Here's articles over this last just couple weeks. Here's one of the first ones. It's called USDA Declares Bird Flu a Permanent Emergency and Ensures Funding Continuity Even During Government Shutdown. This is back from October 22nd. What is that? The beginning of this, you know, halfway through the shutdown? So here's what this article says. Avian influenza, officially elevated above nearly every other disease in the country's federal continuity plan, after USDA rolled out their $1 billion bird flu plan earlier this year. So avian influenza has been officially elevated above nearly every other disease in the country's federal continuity plan, after the USDA rolled out their $1 billion bird flu plan earlier this year, which I didn't know about. But anyway, the article goes into it. And the article goes on to say, you know, this intro says, the U.S. Department of Agriculture and USDA has quietly confirmed that highly pathogenic avian influenza H5N1, the same bird flu virus that is currently at the center of international gain-of-function experiments in vaccine production, will continue to receive its emergency funding even during a full government shutdown. So they're getting the money. And what are they doing? Well, here's a few articles on that. Back on October 20th, there's an article. U.S. South Korea lab engineer chimeric bird flu virus that's 100% fatal in mammals, infects human blood cells, attacks the brain, and this is from the journal called Science Advances. So here you go, folks. A study confirms that this lab-made hybrid H5N1 strain invades immune cells and replicates in human blood, spreads to the brain, and kills every mammal tested. I mean, is that for real? I mean, is this fear porn, folks? Are they putting this out there for us to believe it? Are they really doing this? Is this really true? Study confirms, da-da-da-da, that they've done this. So, and then the next article, this one's from John Fleetwood, October 27th. He says, NIH-funded Mount Sinai scientists engineer new bird flu, Frankenstein virus chimera in New York. Frankenvirus chimera in New York. And this is from the journal called the Vaccine Journal. So a peer-reviewed study confirms that reverse genetics construction of a synthetic avian human influenza hybrid in New York City through a $150 million government grant. Well, that's freaky. They synthesize this $150 million government contract to engineer a synthetic avian human influenza hybrid. Are they going to release it in New York City? Where they created it? Is it going to leak out somehow? Who would do that? Why are they doing that? So here's another article. Now, this is from Technocracy News from just yesterday, October 31st. And the headline here is, over 100 BSL-4 bioweapons labs now operate worldwide with more under construction. And it goes on to explain more on that. And I mean, they're creating a whole business model. Here's another one from yesterday. HHS builds a $37.5 million bird flu pandemic hospital network of 75 facilities to serve as federal special pathogen centers. This goes on to say that internal documents confirm the avian influenza preparedness at the core mission of a new taxpayer-funded hospital network. What is that? What? So, I mean, they're ramping up, obviously, infrastructure for creating, you know, some bird flu stuff. And is this what's going to happen? They're going to start talking about, you know, all this influenza thing taking off, and then it's going to morph into a bird flu thing. Or it's actually bird flu. So forewarned is forearmed, folks. I'm trying to keep it positive. There's some serious stuff going on. I want to thank you for listening to the show today. You know, hopefully you've heard something that sparks your conscience and awakens your part in the global revolution in higher consciousness that's accelerating through the 2020s. So keep the faith, see the good, make it so. Dance like no one is watching, love like you've never been hurt, and be the change that you want to see. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Bye for now.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.